Nightly News Podcast. Join Jay the Man and the man, the myth, the legend, the one and only Rags, discussing today's news, conspiracy news, and news you won't hear anywhere else. Only on the Disclosure Media Network. Don't forget to subscribe to us on YouTube by going to youtube.disclosuremedia.net.
Hello and good evening to all of you out there listening on YouTube and also those who listen on TuneIn. Hey, and all you that download our podcast on iTunes and on Podomatic, thank you very much. It's much appreciated. We are user supported, so it's great that we get your interaction when you download our podcast. It's always a good thing. Tonight it is Monday, May 4th, 2015, and I'm Jason, and this is the Nightly News Podcast. Also along for the ride is Rags.
What up?
And sorry about that, Rags. I had your audio turned down so you couldn't hear the intro, so my bad. We got that fixed, so you should be able to hear everything. And so, man, it's been a for some of those out there. For you, I know it was a busy weekend, and for some in Texas, it was a crazy weekend, I guess, and that's probably where we're going to start off tonight, folks, is going to start talk about what happened down in Texas, specifically, I guess that was Garland, Texas?
Yes, Garland. Yeah, Garland, Texas.
So this was last night, and I guess two individuals decided to attack this I don't even really have a story here. I'm just going by what I've been following. And we do have a story on disclosuremedia.net where is this ISIS? You know, is this ISIS, Rags? I know ISIS has claimed that responsibility, I've been hearing through the grapevine. And one of the suspects, he's a former terror suspect, and he has been named as one of the gunmen shot dead by police after the two attackers blasted an unarmed security guard in the ankle during an anti-Islam art contest. That's what it was, in Texas, and it was on Sunday night. It was an art contest, I guess, who could ever draw the best Muhammad poster. And I think it was like a $10,000 contest, rack. So, I mean, that's not too shabby.
No, not at all.
So, getting back to the suspects here, one was Elton Simpson. He was 30, who was previously the suspect of a terror investigation. And his roommate was Nader Safi. He was 34. They were armed with assault rifles when they were killed by a quick-thinking traffic officer after opening fire outside the Curtis Colwell Center in Garland and Dallas at around 7 p.m. The shooting unfolded as the American Freedom Defensive Initiative held an event inside the building where, God, I can't even read that word, of the Prophet Muhammad were being displayed. Followers of Islam deemed that any physical depiction of the Prophet, even a positive one, is blasphemy. Now, Simpson, identified in court papers as an American Muslim, had been convicted of lying to federal agents about his plans to travel to Somalia 5 years ago, but a judge ardently ruled it could not be proved that he was heading there to join a terror group. He was placed on probation. After the attack, the SITE intelligence group reported that an Islamic State fighter claimed on Twitter that the shooting was carried out by two pro-ISIS individuals. In a series of tweets and leaks, a jihadist named as Abu Hussein Abatini, which site said was a British ISIS fighter, Junaid Hussein, claimed that two of our brothers just opened fire at the Prophet Muhammad exhibition in Texas. And, quote, they thought they were safe in Texas from the soldiers of the Islamic State, was also added in the tweet. Other ISIS supporters claimed on Twitter that one of the gunmen was a man calling himself Sharia Islite on the social media site, using it's now a suspended account, and this is according to the New York Times. Also, he posted a message earlier that said the bro with me and myself have given Bay oath to Omari Marina, ISIS leader. May Allah accept us, and some other crazy stuff, and hashtag Texas attack. So the contest was just minutes away from finishing when multiple gunshots were heard. So some have speculated rags if they were running just a little bit late, because the show was supposed to end at 7, and I guess they got there right at 7. So it begs the question, this could have probably been a lot worse if they were actually, people were leaving and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt. I mean, obviously, this police officer who came under fire, and as two of
these guys must be horrible shots. I mean, shoot somebody in the ankle. What the hell were you shooting at?
And I believe they did have assault weapons when they got out. Yeah. And he was able to take them out with his 9mm.
Well, he was unarmed.
What's that?
He was unarmed. The guy that got shot.
How did he kill him?
It was another traffic officer, supposedly, that was nearby. See. From what
But they also came at the officer when he stopped him. That's what I was talking about.
Oh, I don't know. Up. They showed up. From what I understand, they showed up, got out, shot the one unarmed officer in the ankle, and then another officer was nearby.
Because that other officer, when he responded, he came up from behind him as they were shooting at him, and he took him out with a 9mm.
And from what I understand, they had a lot of people, a lot of security at this event. I mean, they had SWAT teams there already.
Oh yeah, this was In fact, right before we went on,
was this a
tonight,
false flag?
No. Right before we went on, CNN was having. They're talking about. In fact, they're talking about the shooting just before we went on. I watched the whole segment, the last hour, and it's the group that put this on, the cartoonist, is known throughout the United States. And it started by the gal who led the fight to stop that. Remember when they wanted to put a mosque down at 9/11?
Yep.
It's the same gal, her organization.
Now, she was on CNN. She had a pretty – I don't have the video. I wanted to play the video. I don't have it right now. I'll have to pop it up. But I know the gal you're talking about, and I think we've got – actually, we have an article. I think we have it on a website. Yeah. Here's the video. I can shoot. So go ahead. Continue, Rex.
Yeah, well, the one thing about it is they have this panel of Muslims on, and they say – according to Muslims, the group that put on the cartoon is one of the most hate – is a hate group. And you know how hate groups get labeled, just like the KKK
anything
else, is that they label this as a hate group.
They this group and the people that were at this contest, from what the authorities have said, there were no locals at this event. This was all out-of-towners that came to this event. Now, maybe not all, but they said a majority were they were out-of-town folks.
Yeah, and I don't know about that.
I mean, I guess $10,000 would probably bring in a lot of crazy folks.
I think the issue is that why is it that they're drawing a cartoon there, but then yet the world stand behind Charlie Hebdo? When Charlie Hebdo down in France, when that went down, everybody stood up for that, and they've been making cartoons, Islamic cartoons, for how long? Years. So for us to have a contest and for is that's freedom of speech.
No, you're
just like,
right.
This is freedom of speech by 100%. They were given the right. And did you notice the military that was there? They had so much military there. There was nothing that's going to happen. And they were private.
Now, speaking of freedom of speech, I wanted to play this video because this is Pamela Giller. She is the woman behind the freedom of speech event in Garland, Texas, that came under attack from the Muslim extremists. And she has spoken out on her first interview today. And she was she slammed the CNN host for suggesting that the event was too provocative. So here it is. Hopefully this audio comes through.
Well, it's dangerous because increasingly we're abridging our freedoms so as not to offend savages. The very idea that if something offends me or I'm insulted by something, I'll kill you, and that way I can get my way. And somehow this is okay with members of the elite media and academia is outrageous.
Well,
it's a cartoon. It's a cartoon.
Sure.
It's a cartoon.
And the idea that we can't that this warrants the violence that you saw. I mean, I haven't heard anyone in the media saying that it's okay for gunmen to show up at an event like this. But what people are saying is that there's always this fine line, you know, between freedom of speech and being intentionally incendiary and provocative.
Intentionally incendiary and provocative by drawing a cartoon. This is the low state of freedom of speech in this country. I disagree, and I disagree most vehemently. The First Amendment, not the Eighth, not the Tenth, but the First, protects all speech, not just ideas that we like, but even core political speech, ideas that we don't like, because who would decide what's good and what's forbidden? The Islamic State? The government? Inoffensive speech, Allison, needs no protection. But in a pluralistic society, you have offensive speech. You have ideas. You have an exchange of ideas. You don't shut down a discussion because I'm offended. If something offends me, should I go out and slaughter people?
Sure,
when
course.
Jesus Christ was put in a jar of urine, it was called art. Did Christians like it? Of course not. Did they slaughter people? Did they burn embassies? Did they kill whole communities? Of course not. Cannot be sanctioned. Yeah, this cannot be sanctioned. The West must stand up for freedom of speech.
Hey, she makes a lot of good points.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. This is what I'm saying. It was a very good segment tonight. So in this segment, before we went live on the air, Alan Dershowitz, you know, he's a big CNN commentator. They bring him in. Or I should say, well, I shouldn't say CNN. He actually, whoever bids him. He was on this panel with the other Islamists that were there. And he was saying the exact same thing this guy was just saying. You don't see Christian. He goes, there's no other religious group in the world, Buddha, Christians,
no group. There's
other,
none.
No, that do what Islamics do. They don't go out. No other. Hey, things happen to Christians all the time. You don't see us going out and beheading Islamic people.
Nope.
No, not at all. And so there's a very interesting thing. And also, then Mark Lamont Hill, and you know our favorite guy there, Jay. Mont Hill, the one dude, always comments and everything
on
CNN. Where, you know, he's doing the riots.
Race baiter.
Yeah, race baiter. But this, so so Dershowitz said, well, you know, there's a. Oh no, I'm sorry. He was in a comment with a guy that's live down in Garland, and he was saying, oh no, we don't know this is from ISIS. Oh wait a minute, he just tweeted he was from ISIS. I mean, some of the stuff that's turned around and said it on TV. It still goes back to the whole point. Wasn't it just everybody in the world, the actors, the Academy, not the Academy Awards, but that was Golden Globes. The whole world stood up for Charlie Hebdo, right?
Yep. Yeah.
It was on everything. It was the fashion thing to do. And everybody's, oh, yeah, we're on board for those people that are slaughtered and all the cartoons that they get against Islam.
Yep.
But now all of a sudden something happens in the United States. It happens close to home. And all of a sudden this group that put this cartoon on, contest that they're the ones? Are you kidding me? I mean,
they want to change America. They don't like the freedoms that we have.
Jay, who wants to change? Like, who really wants to change America?
Well, that's an even deeper question. But they're definitely using the Muslims. Whether you want to believe that they're all extremists, of course they're not all.
They're not, of course not.
But I mean. There's no other religion out there, and they're more of a political religion, too. You know what I'm saying? They're not just all, you know, not like, I don't know. It's just so complicated, and it really irritates me. And
I know. It irritates me in some of the comments.
And it's plain to see that this is happening. You can't miss it. You're blind if you can.
You know, I mean, these were Muslims. They did what they did. I mean, so how many more Muslims are out there that are going to do this in my country? I will stand up and I will say it left, right, and foot. I don't care. Because these jihadists, these caliphate mother frags, want to kill people. I don't see the Pope. Do you see the Pope? Do you see the Pope having a rally to go kill Muslims or kill anybody else?
But isn't that how the Crusades got started?
Well, because that goes back. That's
well. Let's go back a little bit now.
Isn't
that what started that? The
old school shit.
Isn't that what started the Crusades to come up? Was because the Muslims and they were basically the guardians for folks to go pass from one area to another. Is that? I mean, I don't know.
There's a lot into the a lot of it was really controlled of who controlled Jerusalem.
Right.
And that's really on the large part after, after Jesus' death. That's, the real story behind all that, you don't get the real...
We don't.
We don't get the real stories that are actually told by the truth. But the caliphates, they have been around for...
A long time.
This is nothing new. And their goal in what they want to do is nothing new. And it has not changed in thousands of years. If you do not believe in Muhammad, then you will be put to death by the sword.
And those guys, they were killed within like 15 seconds of getting out of the cars. They were dead.
Mm-hmm.
15 seconds. Huh. So much for planning. That didn't go so well, did it?
Yeah, but how many more are these guys out here?
Right. That's definitely going to probably set up what they call copycats,
Well, I mean.
Maybe this is the signal. Who knows?
Yeah, that would be the interesting thing, is to see, where it goes from here. But
this could be what initiates martial law.
You never know.
We got Jade Helm, getting ready to kick in, and Walmarts are closing, and Targets are closing, plumbing issues, and they're putting barbed wire fences around the buildings.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, Regs. Well, let's move on to something different. What you got?
Well, how about this? It's along the same lines, but it's actually a pretty good poll. 96% of Americans expect more civil unrest in U.S. cities this summer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is from the dailysheeple.com. Are you ready for rooting, looting, and mindless violence in major U.S. cities all summer long? Well, according to a brand new Wall Street Journal and NBC News poll, 96% of all Americans believe that there will be more civil unrest in America this summer. That leaves only 4% of people that believe that everything will be just fine. In this day and age, it's virtually impossible to get 96% of Americans to agree on anything.
Well, they didn't poll me, so that must be the 4%.
Yeah, however they do that poll.
I don't know.
But if they did poll you, Jay, you'd say yes. I would say, I wasn't polled either.
I would say yes. Yeah, you're right.
So that takes it up to
98%.
That's not 96% of Americans. It's a scientific poll.
I know.
It goes by adjusted figures in random areas in different regions of the country. Just those are the facts. It's just about everyone agrees on this. You're going to see more civil unrest. It's really telling us something, The anger that has been building on the surface for so many years in this country has finally started to erupt. If you've been following anything that's been going on, you know that there is always something or been a warning for this a long time. Many people believe or they thought that of course, now this is – who's writing this? I want to say Michael Snyder is writing this from The Economic Collapse, so he's going to use the word I.
Yep.
He says, I've been warning about this for a very long time. Many people may have thought that I was exaggerating when I talked about the civil unrest that was coming to American cities. But I was not exaggerating at all. In fact, if anything, I was downplaying it. In many years to come, we are going to see things happen in our cities that are absolutely going to shock the world. Ever since the violence first erupted in Baltimore, what has surprised me more than anything has been the level of hate that I am seeing all over the internet. I'm seeing white people openly proclaim how much they hate black people. I'm seeing black people openly proclaim how much they hate white people. I am saying things about the police that are absolutely horrifying. Yes, there has been a tremendous amount of police brutality in this nation. In fact, I have been one of the leaders in writing about it. But most police officers are just trying to serve their communities the very best they can. So why is there so much hate for anyone that is a police officer these days? If all this hate continues to grow, and it's growing, and it's going to eat our nation alive, why can't we just learn to forgive one another and love one another and work together to rebuild once our great nation? When we look at this, Jay, we think about the 96 – I mean, me and you already – we would have agreed on this even a year ago.
Yeah.
Because we know that for whatever it is, the powers to be, the media-controlled powers to be, they're the ones that are fuming this line of racial divide.
Yep, they are, and it's going to, like I said, it just seems like they're trying to pick the battle. They're trying to find which is the right one that's going to spark it really off, and maybe it just seems like they're testing the waters, because it's just been recently that we've just seen these incidences, and it's not like cameras have just, we've had cameras, camera phones and stuff for, 15, 20 years now, you know what I'm saying? So the ability to catch these things has been around for 15, 20 years, and now here recently it's just really popping up. I mean, really getting bad.
Well, and that's the thing, too, is that when you start to see this stuff go on, we look at everything that we see in our society. If you cannot look at it with a clear view lens and see that they are trying to divide us,
Yep, they
are. That's how you conquer, is you divide. Until we can find some reason to get past this, I mean, it's going to be a long summer.
Hey, folks, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back here in just a short minute.
We'll be right back with the Nightly News Podcast with Jason and Rags.
All right, folks, we're coming back from our little break there. Just looking over some stories here and what we're going to get to. And we got some earthquakes we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the feds. We got old Hillary Clinton down in the news feed there and some other stuff and FCC and, oh yeah, that Texas councilman who forgets to turn off his microphone. Hilarious. Hilarious! Okay, here. Alright, well, let's, I'm gonna start here. We, you know, last week we talked about it. Oh, I opened the wrong window. I've started to use Google Chrome. I stopped using Firefox, so I haven't changed the default. Firefox, I'm just not happy with it right now. I've used it for a long time, but so I'm on Chrome. Anyway, over the last week or so, earthquakes have been on the rise, and today we had a strong one. Another strong earthquake hits near Papua New Guinea. There are no reports of damage. It was a large magnitude 7.4. I think it's been downgraded. I think it was a 7.5 or 7.8 earlier.
Yeah, 7.5.
They didn't take it down too far. Anyway, it struck on Tuesday. It's already Tuesday there. It was around 93 miles south of the town of Rabu in Papua New Guinea, the U.S. Geological Survey said. It also set off a tsunami warning within 300 kilometers of the epic center. The Pacific Tsunami Warning Center issued the warning but said that a destructive Pacific-wide tsunami reaching as far as Hawaii was not expected. The quake, downgraded from initial estimate of 7.5, struck around 9:40 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at a depth of 63 kilometers, and was the latest in a series of strong tremors to hit the region. And they've had quite a few aftershocks already. They had like a 6.9 or something. I have to look that up. My app was going pretty berserk earlier. Let's see. Susan, this is out of the story here. She told Reuters that the quake was felt strongly in the city with water splashing out of the swimming pool, but there were no immediate signs of damage. Did this thing take place out in the ocean, Rags?
You know, I'm not sure. I didn't. This happened just tonight, didn't it?
Yeah, like almost 10 o'clock tonight.
Yeah,
not long ago.
I didn't see exactly where this was, but obviously I did know the tsunami warnings went off right away. So
that's a pretty good sized quake.
Yeah, and you know that whole region's been pounded lately. So yep. That, you know, I mean, I want to say over the weekend, didn't New Zealand have one?
I think so.
Yeah, New Zealand had like a 5 point or 6 point, something like that. I can't remember. I think it was a 5 point. I can't remember. Yeah, and plus, and again, Jay, like we've talked about before, you know, we had a CME on Saturday.
Well, they've had three aftershocks after the 7.5. They've had a 5.9, a 5.6, and a 5.2. Oh, and a 4.4. So they've had four aftershocks.
The shocks have a pretty significant amount. But yeah, boom. You know, the southeast limb of that sun had a big CME. You see that all over. Mm-hmm. So again, sun related
connected.
As always.
It's connected, folks.
Connected. You know, it had a big burp on Saturday. So it was, and that was huge filament. And there's still a lot more filaments still coming. It seems like they're exploding on each other. So, you know, usually we'll get the, you know, the coronal holes.
I just read somewhere that the sun's completely quiet, right? Like, there's no sunspots.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This is what it is. It's the filaments that are, they're collapsing on each other. That's what I'm saying. There's no sunspots. It's been filaments. So you get that line. It looks like a canyon or it looks like a crack, or it looks like a knife wound, you know, it's like a scar, you know, coming down the sun.
Right.
Is what it is. It's just whatever. It's a filament, and it comes down on itself, and when it enfolds upon itself, it shoots out of CME.
Sounds scary, man. That thing could wipe us out in a blink of an eye. We wouldn't even know it.
Seconds.
I mean, it takes 8 minutes, I think, for the rays of the sun to get here. So, yeah, you wouldn't even know.
Yeah.
You'd just be chilling like we are right now talking, and everything would just go quiet.
Just like that. Yeah, you know, it'd be interesting. Didn't Oklahoma have some earthquakes tonight? Somebody has. Or Michigan, was it? I can't remember. Somebody, Chicago just the weekend, too. I don't know. It just seems like there's a lot of quake activity. Don't know. It's hard saying. You know, we'll have to kind of, again, watch how things go.
You know, just there's so much out there that you could you could pin what the government's preparing for. Because the government's preparing. You know, I don't know if they're actively preparing for an active threat or if it's just, you know, being ready for whatever, but they're definitely getting ready for something.
Well, and that's the thing, you know. I mean, with all these the troops mobilizing, Operation Jade Helm, you know, we hear about more ammo, we hear about
because
more
this
body
drill,
bags.
This drill could go live with a drop of a dime.
Well, it's just like that one too. You know, they're now hardening, they're now making it EMP proof and redoing NORAD. They're moving, you know, the New York stock, the Federal Reserve from New York to Chicago. You know, there's a lot of stuff going down, which is just interesting. You know, what is it that they know that we don't? I mean, because we all know, it's just like the movies. The movies tells you, just like in Armageddon, Bruce Willis. Well, the government's not going
to
tell anybody, you know?
Not till
it's
the
just
last
like,
minute.
What was that other show with the Morgan Freeman and...
Deep Impact,
you know?
Oh,
know,
man, that's my
know?
Movie. And, you know, a lot of CT folks point to that movie as... That's one of the movies a lot of folks actually point to as far as, you know, them telling us something.
Well, East Coast Tsunami. Yep. Why are they getting the first? Why are they moving people? You know, so, I mean.
Black President.
Yeah.
Oof.
You know.
So many coincidences for that movie. So a lot of CT folks point to that movie.
A lot of CT going on there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, how would you know? I mean, I think, when was that movie? Was it 1996?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I believe it was. I mean, we're talking about 8 years before. He wasn't even a senator yet.
Almost 20 years.
Yeah, that's what I thought. 1996, am I right?
19 years, yeah. Not, we're
yeah.
19 years. And
so,
almost 20 years.
Wow.
Now, be something. And we got that, 2-mile asteroid out there, don't we?
Yeah. We also have Halley Comet coming back, you know, with the whatever it's dragging.
Yeah.
Yeah, certain anomalies out there, but, you know, I don't know. It, you know, that's pretty deep. You know, all the world's economy are being propped up. We all know this. We're in debt. We can't even pay the debt back. I mean, let's be honest. Let's just be honest with ourselves as human beings.
Yeah, it's not
Where
happening.
Are we going? It's not happening. We're not going to be able to pay this debt back. So ask yourselves, what is going on that they really don't care?
Yeah, because they're just spending there's no cares.
There's something that's deep.
Too deep for this show. All right, we'll be back, folks, here shortly. We got to take our 5-minute news break here. It's coming to the bottom of the hour. Hey, don't forget to download our Android app. You can get it at the Google Play Store. Just search for Disclosure Radio. You can listen to us live. You can also get access to the archives and all the latest news and breaking news that's currently going on. So check that app out, Disclosure Radio, at the Google Play Store. And we'll be back here in about 5 to 6 minutes, folks, so just stand by, and we'll see you shortly.
We'll be right back with the Nightly News Podcast with Jason and Rags.
The truth is, I'm not really sure what happened.
And now you've got yourself something funky.
Yeah. All right, folks, we're coming back here for the second half of the show. Rags, did you see that link I just posted?
Yeah, I did have to get more information on it first.
I thought it was hilarious. Okay. All right, folks. Sorry, I was just in La La Land there, searching through some headlines and adjust my camera here for a second here. So yeah, I just I seen that hit the Twitter out there, Twitter, and I was like, oh, are you serious? How could she? Anyway, there's a story out there that says the Baltimore State's attorney, Marilyn Mosby, she charged the wrong people, wrong names, wrong addresses of two officers. When Miss Mosby stood up in front of the world with her theatrics at her press conference last Friday, she charged two of the wrong people. Now, when I say she charged two of the wrong people, I don't mean she charged two of the wrong officers. I mean she charged the wrong people. Innocent people. Of the six police officers that were charged, two of them were charged under the wrong names, the wrong dates of birth, and the wrong addresses. And because of that, reporters went to the wrong addresses of these innocent people, these private citizens, and whose lives have now been invaded. They went to their homes, knocked on your doors, they harassed them, they went to their neighbors and attempted to get interviews. And it wasn't until these private citizens contacted their local state's attorney's office until the problem was rectified. Now, this comes from the Baltimore Sun. They also reported on the mistake. It says, when charges were announced Friday against Alicia White for the death of Freddie, her phone started buzzing from journalists and bail bondsmen. Bail bondsmen, Rags, that's of course. Hey, you need a bail? Oh, jeez.
But they all made bail on Friday, though. That's the whole thing. Every single one of them made bail on Friday.
Once
they were charged, every one of them made bail on Friday.
And it says the problem was they were calling the wrong Alicia White. The elementary school cafeteria manager from East Baltimore was not the Baltimore police sergeant charged with manslaughter in the high-profile police custody. How can you get that wrong, Rags?
But here's the thing, is that all their mugshots and everything was released on Friday and processed, and then they had their bail. And whoever the bail's bondsman was, all that's public record. So
no, I understand. I'm just saying this is pretty shoddy of the freaking state attorney's office, right?
I think, but I also think it's shoddy on the journalist's part.
No doubt. You know, absolutely.
I think there's lots of parts there. But, yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, but, I mean, let's look. I mean, everything that this attorney general has done is already, it's just another thing that she's rushed to judgment on, you know?
Well, that's what the police unions come out to say. But, of course, that's what they're going to come out to say.
You cannot take a political view as an attorney general. You cannot take a political view. Your job in that position is not to take a political view.
And do you agree with me, Rags? That guy was hurt before he got in that van.
Absolutely. Well, I mean,
have you watched the videos?
Yep.
He's obviously hurt.
He is, but I didn't see anything from the officers that...
No, there's no video of them beating him or anything
that.
But there was a chase.
Yep. I don't know. No. Again, because that caused it his own when he crashed his bicycle or whatever the heck or whatever was going on.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know. You know, I mean, there's all sorts of angles, but... Again, I'm not going to they're not here's the thing. It's just like they're not going to get a murder charge.
No.
Sorry. It's not going to happen. Sorry. There will be no murder charge.
I think they're going to get all acquitted.
I believe they're going to get all acquitted. Absolutely.
I mean, there might be some type of charge that they get stuck with, some minor charge, maybe neglect or when you're in police custody, they're in charge of your health, right? I mean, if something happens to you, I mean, they can be held responsible.
Yeah, I mean,
especially when the man's handcuffed, and I mean.
But you know, then we get the conflicting stories about him beating the crap out of himself in the.
Well, that guy recanted his story, Rags.
Oh, did that recant? I don't know.
Yeah, he did, but I think he did because...
I thought he did it out of fear of his life.
I believe he did, too.
Yeah, so, I mean...
Yep. Yeah, because he's getting death threats.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on from that topic, Rags. What do you have?
Well, good old Hillary Clinton.
Oh,
you
our
know,
favorite.
The former Secretary of State, a hopeful to at least make it to the Democratic convention, which I doubt. But Hillary Clinton agrees to testify before Congress and to the select committee panel on Benghazi. How about that? In May. Hillary Clinton has agreed to testify before the House Select Committee on Benghazi later this month, according to a letter from her attorney and from the panel's chairman, Rep. Trey Gowdy, a Republican of South Carolina. Gowdy asked Clinton, the former Secretary of State and now presidential candidate, to testify before the committee twice, once on her private email server and once on the 2012 attacks in Benghazi that killed four Americans. But David Kendall, Clinton's lawyer, said Clinton would testify once on both topics on a day designated by the committee during the week of May 18th or later. On such a day, she will stay as long as necessary to answer the committee's questions, but will not prolong the committee's efforts further by appearing on two separate occasions when one will suffice, Kendall wrote in a letter delivered on Monday.
Oh, so she wouldn't want to inconvenience them.
Yeah. Last month, Gowdy sent a lengthy letter to Kendall outlining his request that Clinton come before the committee twice and listed more than 100 questions he wanted to cover. He said it is necessary to call Secretary Clinton twice because the committee needed to ensure we have a complete and responsive record in all the facts before we can then substantively question her on the Benghazi terrorist attacks, Gowdy said at the time. The top Democrat on the panel, Rep. Elijah Cummings of Maryland, said on Monday that Gowdy should take yes for an answer and finally scheduled the hearing. So there you go. So it looks like, how about that week? I mean, you want to see the media hype for this week? The week that happens? That she's going to testify? Oh, my gosh.
You think it's going to be crazy?
I think that we're going to get another riot or something that throws everybody off.
Distraction.
Distraction, distraction, distraction.
Gotta love those distractions. They always help.
They cover it live on all three 24-hour news channels. And
they end her presidential campaign right there.
Crucifies her, yep. Because any time that she twitches her face, or she looks like she's angry, or she feels like she thinks she's answered the question, it's another point that she loses in the trust of the American people. It's a fact.
What difference does it make?
Because, exactly. I'm waiting. I would just love to hear that again.
Oh, she won't go there.
Could you imagine? Oh, she won't. No, she won't. But I'm sure that
she'll be on her best behavior.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And I'm sure they're going to be, short answers. But, I mean, obviously they want 100 questions answered. So, geez, it seems like it takes 4 hours just to get 3 questions answered.
Oh, Lord.
If you ever watched those panel hearings,
yeah,
you get a one-minute
soundbite, and it took 4 hours to get that soundbite.
Yeah, so, I mean, oh, God, I mean, who knows?
Yeah. Well, let's move on to some economic news. The feds are not likely to increase U.S. rates until, guess when, Rags? This is that date that we've been hearing a lot, September. That's right. The U.S. economy slowed sharply in the first quarter of this year, with annualized GDP growth falling to just 0.2% from 2.2% in the final quarter of 2004. That is just horrible. How bad is that, Rags? 0.2.
Well, we haven't grown, Jay, in over 5 years, 6 years.
Well, we
anything
grew 2.2.
Over 2%.
We grew 2% in the fourth quarter last year, right?
Remember, it was revised. Again.
Oh, was
remember,
it?
All numbers are revised. Oh, yes.
So, thus, the economy...
Remember, we just talked about this last week. Remember, it was revised down to below whatever it was.
I don't remember what it was.
It was 0.02. Remember, that was the article I read? Something like that. 0.02 or something. I can't remember. Lowest whatever. I can't.
It says, this was largely the result of a number of temporary factors such as severe weather conditions. They always use this. Weather.
Always use the weather. Oh, yeah.
Weather in parts of the U.S. and West Coast ports and the West Coast port strike. I guess that could have maybe did something. I don't know. Lower investment by energy firms as a result of the collapse in oil prices also negatively impacted on GDP. The breakdown of quarter one GDP showed that personal consumption remained the main driver of growth, contributed 1.3 percentage points. However, business investment was weak, deducting 0.4 percentage points from the GDP. Meanwhile, net exports also acted as a drag on growth, depressing GDP by 1.3 percentage points. This may reflect the combined impact of port strikes and the firmer dollar. A sharp fall in exports accounted for 1 percentage point to the overall drag from trade. Despite the slowdown in growth, the labor market remained generally strong in the quarter one. While non-farm payroll growth did slow to 126,000 in March, this came after 12 consecutive months of 200,000-plus gains, during which time the unemployment rate fell from 6.7% to 5.5%, a seven-year low. Yeah, right. Anyway, meanwhile, wage growth is starting to pick up. The wages and salaries component of the employment cost index record growth of 0.7% quarter one, resulting in year-on-year growth of 2.6% up from 1.8%. Yeah. Now, on the inflation front, though, the sharp decline in oil prices has seen the annual CPI inflation rate fall sharply to negative 0.1% by March. However, the core CPI rate, excluding food and energy, why do they exclude those? Those are like two of the most important things. Anyway, it remains stable at around 1.8%. So that's the CPI. That's the consumer price index. Is that what that is?
Yeah, that's correct.
So that's what the annual rate of how much shit's going up. Is that what that means?
Yes.
So it's going up almost at 2%, but that's not right, right? That's not real. That's not a real number, really, is it?
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I don't know what the numbers are because they come from the government.
Right.
You know, I mean, the government's lying to our faces about everything. I mean, until everybody wakes up and smells the freaking coffee. I mean, you know, now, are some of those true? Yeah, I mean, depending on the numbers. I believe over the last, since 2000, the downturn in the economy, it's been somewhere around the neighborhood of, I think we're around 3%. I don't think we've gone over 4%. In growth, where we used to be like 6, 5, 7% growth a year, 9, you know, all the years before that. So for GDP, that's what I meant. So for GDP for 2014, I think they gave it a, it was up at 2.6 or revised to a 2.2.
They say we expect Fed rates will materialize later this year as lower energy prices, good employment, and wage growth support activity. The exact timing and extent of the rate tightening is data dependent, and therefore the Fed will be paying close attention to the incoming macro data. In particular, the Fed will be looking for the confirmation that the economy is regaining momentum. As the headwinds evident in the first quarter abate, however, a rate hike at the next Federal Reserve meeting in June seems rather unlikely given the recent weakening activity and current very low inflation rate. Thus, the Fed may wait until its September meeting before starting to hike interest rates. By that stage, it should have a clear picture of the trajectory of the economy if the economy does indeed regain momentum, which I don't think it is. Going to, I don't think it is right now. I think it's all the numbers are lie. Markets may have scaled back too much on their rate hike expectations for 2015. So that's it right there, folks, for the economy news. I don't know what the stock markets did today. Let's see. It looks like they were up 46 points or a quarter percentage. So oil didn't do much, really. It's creeping back up a little bit. Almost 60 a barrel now. For crude, anyway, sweet crude.
That's exactly where I said it was going to be, Jay. If we go back to the very first podcast that I first got on here, I said
that's
exactly
what needs. That's what it needs to be at.
And then it's going to go back down below $40 a barrel come this fall.
Because that price is needed to sustain our oil boom, right? That $60 barrel price.
Well, I mean, I can tell you this
because
much.
It costs. It's costing these. These guys who do this drilling, this new drilling or whatever, Shell or whatever, it's like, what, 40, 50 a barrel just the cost-wise?
Yeah, they're once it goes below a certain break ratio, it's hard saying. Nobody knows the exact figure.
Right.
Because
like you said, you just turn a spigot on, right?
Once the Saudis, everybody else,
For the Saudis, you know, they just have a spigot.
OPEC countries, they can all just, they just go, it's like a faucet, man, just off or on, you know, whatever you want, and just come right out. So it just – it's very dependent. So it we'll see as – because, I mean, they're already laying off people in those parts of the country, especially North Dakota. It's in the papers all the time. So, you know.
Well, what do you got next coming up here? I see you got a story on secrecy.
Well, another economic – I mean, because this is the TPP. You know, the secrecy over the TPP, and if any of you don't know, I mean –
what is the TPP?
Well, the TPP is that Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Oh,
okay, you know, it's a regulatory investment. It's a treaty between 12 countries: Australia, Brunei, Canada, Chile, Japan, Malaysia, Mexico, New Zealand, Peru, Singapore, Vietnam, and of course the good old U.S. of A.
Well, isn't that ironic that Vietnam's in there? I mean, didn't we bomb the hell out of that fucking country? Sorry, I said the F word.
And you've heard it all over the news, and this is the secrecy thing. Is it just keeps growing? And this is I got this from the Common Dreams. org. More and more lawmakers are joining opposition to corporate-friendly trade deal over the lack of transparency. The backroom push for the corporate-friendly Trans-Pacific Partnership trade pact may be backfiring on its supporters as more and more lawmakers in U.S. Congress drop their interest in the deal over its extreme secrecy.
And what's her name came out against it, Elizabeth Warren,
Elizabeth Warren.
She's like, hey, I want to see what's in this. So even Congress hasn't, they don't get to see this? This is insane.
Well, just listen to this. So here's how it is. Only members of the House and Senate are currently allowed to view the text of the deal, even if they are forbidden from discussing it, what it contains. As a new report from the Politico published Monday details that if you're a member who wants to read the text, you've got to A, you've got to go to a room in the basement of the Capitol Visitor Center and be handed one section at a time.
Jeez.
And you're watched over as you read it. And you're forced to hand over any notes you make before leaving.
So why make any notes? You can't even take them with you.
Yeah, exactly. This article goes on to say, as for the public, a few unauthorized leases of the text have been previewed a deal that would dramatically expand the power of corporations to use closed-door tribunals to challenge and supersede domestic laws, including environmental, labor, public health, and other protections. The lack of transparency over the trade agenda has become a central argument for a growing number of opponents who see the deal as a corporate power grab and feel they are being treated with disrespect and condescension, condescension, as Politico's Edward Isaac explains. So, I mean, there's I just cannot believe that, again, we're having something that they're trying to push, that there's got to be secrecy over it? Okay, wait a minute. Is this – I'm sorry – then where's our the defense wing? Where's our Department of Homeland? I mean, is this detrimental to the – welfare and being in the defense of the United States of America?
America.
That we have to keep this thing secret? Are we serious?
This is kind of... A lot of things I hear are just unheard of in the government anymore. It's just...
Everything I'm hearing is Bozo Land, dude.
Twilight
it's
Zone.
Bozo Land. This is bullshit.
Twilight Zone. Where's my Twilight audio?
You know? I mean, this is just becoming... dead serious wrong. I mean, I don't know how you keep trying to get the people not – I mean, how are you supposed to be transparent enough that we're not supposed to push and see exactly what's in this trade deal? I mean, I cannot believe this. And people in Congress are sticking with this?
You unlock this door.
Yeah, we got it.
We are in the freaking Twilight Zone, man. Just the stuff that's going on now. It's just, oh, man.
So, I mean, but it is catching fire because I am here. There is a lot of back talk amongst a lot of people in Congress are taking a lot of heat. People have been speaking out against it. And which has been nice is there has been the big groups, a lot of the environmental groups, Greenpeace. So once you start getting into those mainstream type political type of people, whether you like them or not, at least it's now getting a lot of coverage because the powers that are given within this trade pact will be not good, not good for anybody. So and just more jobs will just gone.
Well, I see you got one more story there, Rag. So if you want to go ahead and
you got it queued up.
Which one is? Oh, yeah, that one. No, I don't have it queued up. But go ahead and give the premise of this video, and I'll have it.
So this is a funny one, folks, and we thought we'd just bring this out because it was funny. A Texas councilman forgets to turn off his microphone while he is using the bathroom. This is out of Georgetown, Texas. It seemed like it was funny because it seems like it was the scene out of the Naked Gun. This is how they talk about it. So, Rachel Joron, the mayor pro tem of Georgetown, Texas, was speaking during a council meeting about the deadly infectious diseases when everyone in the room can hear someone going to the bathroom. It turns out the councilman forgot to turn off his microphone. This is hilarious. When you guys start to watch this, you'll see the mayor starts laughing her butt off. Go ahead, Jay, play that video.
Action at the federal level. I am aware of Mr. Brainerd's concerns that he raised last time, and there would be instances where I'd actually agree that we should take action locally first, but there are not any KFO operations in Georgetown, so for us to just say it within the city limits would be...
She can't contain her laughter.
You can hear him go to the bathroom the whole time, and she's trying to laugh.
So
here he comes back walking in, like doo 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 doo.
Don't know any boundaries, so a state by state approach would just mean that the.
Now he's being told. Oh. Oops. And you know he doesn't. There you know what's interesting about that, Rags, is he didn't wash his hands. He did not wash his hands.
No, he didn't, did he? Now he's gonna get. He probably got Twitter blasted for that.
He did not wash those hands. He flushed the toilet and out he came.
Oh my God!
You didn't hear no sink faucet.
I don't think I heard a sink. I could hear him whizzing though. You could hear the water.
I think it was a little harder for the video that we have. But it's,
I can hear it.
Did you hear it? Okay, just my headphones.
Oh yeah, that's why she was laughing. You can hear it. I'm laughing because I can
hear
it.
No, I've seen the video. I just didn't know if you actually could hear.
Actually could hear it through on my headset here. I could actually hear it.
If you heard it, then they could hear it. But come on, turn your microphone off, man.
Oh, that's some funny stuff there. That is some funny stuff. And you're right. You probably and the people who hear that, they're going to blast my Twitter. What? You didn't even wash your hands after you're done with that?
Hands. Jeez. Come on. Now you're a public person. And now, oh, man. That's just disgusting. Well, folks, that pretty much concludes our show for tonight. Don't forget to subscribe to us on our YouTube channel. Just point your browser to youtube.disclosuremedia.net. That will take you right to our YouTube channel. You can also follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/disclosuremedia. We're also on Twitter at disclosuremedia. You can also follow me on Twitter at RealJason_Young, and I changed my Twitter name there, Rags. And you can follow Rags at Rags the Man.
Rags the Man.
Rags is new to Twitter, so he doesn't tweet too much. So follow him though, so he can have some people to tweet to when he figures it all out.
When I figure it all out, I'll tweet.
He'll tweet something. You can find us on there. Also, folks, don't forget to download our app. You can listen to us live on our app. It's an Android app, so any Android device out there, you can get it on. Just search for Disclosure Radio. That is the name of the app. You can listen to us live there when we're live, or you can listen to past episodes and all the archives and the guest interviews that we've done in the past. And we're going to have some guests here coming up shortly, probably in this month. Hopefully we'll get some guests here booked. I just got to get them booked. I'm just so much
short
going
month.
On.
Busy month.
So we'll definitely get some guests booked for this coming month. Maybe have Peter Kling on and maybe get Dr. Courtney Brown on. He's a great guest. And maybe even get Sherry Kane and Dr. Lynn Horowitz on the program. They've got a lot of great information, so we'll see about getting those folks on. Anyway, we will be back tomorrow at the same time, 11 p.m. Eastern time, and folks, you have a great night, and we'll be seeing you tomorrow. Rags?
See ya!